sometimes we judge people by the cover, but we really don't know the story behind people. But as we get to know this woman, we realize that there's a story that led to her defensiveness and mean-spiritedness.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago, a multi-site movement church spreading throughout Chicagoland and cities around the world. Pastor Mark, thank you for bringing us today's message in the Rewrite series. You've got us today in John chapter 4. This has got to be one of the best stories in the Gospels. We see a woman, a city woman, a woman who was street smart and hardened by the things of life, and Christ comes right to her at a divine moment to change and rewrite her story. What a powerful story.
Joshua, I love this story because this woman, she could have been a Chicago White Sox fan on the southwest side of Chicago, just sort of hard life, been through a couple relationships. She's got an edge to her. She's the kind of woman that's going to honk at you in traffic and, you know, maybe give you a couple hand signals if you cut her off. She's outspoken, aggressive. I mean, there's a lot of women like that. Mm-hmm. In the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. They're not all Sox fans. We got some upset Cubs fans.
Yeah, that's moment, right. But that's right. There are. But here's the thing about this. Jesus encounters this woman. She's got a lot of hard exterior. She's kind of moving her head back and forth. And Jesus breaks through all that stuff and gets to the tender, that tender, disappointed, empty part of her that only Jesus knows how to get to. And I love the empathy and the directness and the love and the sensitivity, yet the persistence that Jesus uses to peel back the layers of the onion of this woman and get to really the heart of the issue.
Yeah, and he shows up at a perfect timing and she doesn't know it. And maybe, friend, maybe you're listening today and you don't know it, but this is that exact moment for you where God is going to speak to your heart as we open up his word. And we want to pray that you would be filled with faith and encouragement as you hear this message. And may God pull back the layers in your heart this morning. And may this be a beginning of a rewrite in your story as you stop avoiding and take an honest look at where you're at and let Jesus rewrite your story. Pastor Mark, let's go right into the text here. You've got us in John chapter 4, and this is called How Full Is Your Bucket?
John chapter 4 is about Jesus encountering a woman that has a lot of issues. And he starts a conversation with her to get to the root of her issues. How many of you know that everybody in this auditorium has issues? Just nod your head if you agree. Tell the person beside you, you know, you have issues. And then tell them, but my issues are probably bigger than yours. Come on, just admit it. Because we all have issues and we know that other people have issues, but we don't always like to admit that we have issues. And how many of you know that you can't always tell when you first meet someone how bad their issues are? Because behind everybody's issues is a story. And sometimes you meet someone and you think they're really off, and then you realize, well, I know why they're off because there's a story. A few months ago, I went to visit a friend of mine that had been in an accident, and he was at a rehabilitation center. And they had put him in a room with two beds. And my friend was pretty beat up. I was going to see him because of the motorcycle accident. And so I walked in the room. And as I was walking to my friend, there was a bed when I first walked in. And there was an older gentleman lying in the bed. And as I walked past, he said hi to me. He said, hi. I said, hi. He asked me, who are you? I said, well, I'm Mark. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Bob with 1-0. I said, okay, Bob with 1-0. I said, I'm coming to see my friend over here. And he said, come here a second. He kind of whispered, come here a second. Like, okay. I said, all right. So I walked closer to him and he kind of whispered. He said, I was in the Marines before. They taught me how to snap someone's neck with one move like this. And I'm like, I took a step back. I said, okay. Bob with 1-0, I'm glad that you know how to snap people's neck. I mean, this is my first time I'm meeting him. This is quite an introduction. And so I'm walking over to meet my friend, and he says, hey, could you help me? I'm like, oh, no, now what this is going to be involved. He said, could you help me? And he starts moving something under his cover, and he pulls out a urinal half full. I'm like, is there a nurse around here, a doctor? I'm just like visiting my friend here. I said, I'm going to put on my pastor servant's hat. And I said, sure, Bob, I'll take it. And I took it and emptied it for him. Then ended up finding out, you know, that Bob with 1-0 was a Vietnam vet and was actually a high school history teacher for about 25 years and had gone through difficult time. But you know what? We can misjudge someone when we first meet them. How about it? We never know people's story. Sometimes you meet someone and you think they have it all together, and you get to meet them a little bit more and you think, wow, scary their story. And sometimes people feel like they're really off, and you meet them and you realize, I know why they're off. I was talking to a pastor last week, and he told me he's got all these young men that come to him that want to get married. And he'll ask you, well, why do you want to marry that girl? He said, I had a conversation with a young guy. He says, why do you want to marry her? And the young guy was like, well, she's hot. He said, okay, I know, but why do you want to marry her? Well, you know, she's hot. And the pastor said, yeah, she's hot, but a little crazy. I mean, a little bit nuts. And so he said, I told the young man, you know, in 30 years from now she's hot and crazy. In 30 years from now, all you're going to be left with is crazy. So just, you know, I'm just warning you in advance. So sometimes we judge people by the cover, but we really don't know the story behind people. This is a story of Jesus encountering a woman at a well. She seems defensive, angry, mean-spirited. But as we get to know this woman, we realize that there's a story that led to her defensiveness and mean-spiritedness. And it's revealed in John chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3 of John chapter 4. And it says, so, speaking of Jesus, he left Judea and went on his way back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about buckets and life and how full you are right now. In fact, I want to talk to you about the image of this woman. I believe there's a lot of Samaritan women and men in this place. I think the empty bucket that this woman had symbolizes her life. This woman, by the way, was on her way to the well to get water, because in those days they didn't have running water like you and I have. You just go to your sink and you turn on a faucet, you get warm or cold water. Back in those days, they just had wells. So every household would have to take a bucket. They would have to walk all the way to the well that was usually in the center of town. And they would have to lower the bucket into the well with a pulley, and then they would, or just a rope, and then they have to pull the water out of the well and take it back home. Everyone in town would have to do that. And it was the sort of the gathering spot, the socializing spot, the place where everybody gossiped and talked a little bit. It was the meeting place of the day. No one in their right mind ever went at noon. Why, you ask? Have you ever been in a desert at noon? I mean, I've been to Israel, and at 12 o'clock noon, it is like a frying pan out there. No one in their right mind ever would go at noon. It was the hottest time of the day, and you had to carry heavy buckets to your home. People would go in the morning early before the sun came out, or they would go late at night when the sun went down. But no one would go at noon unless you were avoiding people. This woman went to the well at noon because she didn't want to see anybody. She didn't want to be around anybody. She wanted to do it alone. And I want to talk to you about this woman, and I want to talk to you about empty buckets, because our life sometimes symbolizes an empty bucket. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I feel like an empty bucket at times. There was a fellow by the name of Donald Clifton who was a psychologist and had a theory in the 1960s, and he used the imagery of a bucket. And according to his theory, this invisible bucket that we all have in our lives is constantly emptied or filled depending on what others say or do to us. When our bucket is full, we feel great. When our bucket is empty, we feel lousy. Him and a guy by the name of Tom Roth wrote a bestseller called How Full Is Your Bucket based on this concept. I look at this woman and I think she came with an empty bucket at noon, and Jesus is there. And the first point I want to make about this passage and this story and about fullness is this. You need to recognize that God has a perfect timing to fill your bucket in a dramatic way. It strikes me that out of all of the times that Jesus could have been at the well, he happened to be there passing through Samaria on his way to Galilee and stops at that well at that time, at that precise moment when that woman was about to make her way to the well. Now, I don't believe in God there are any coincidences. I believe that God has a perfect way to set up the perfect timing to have an encounter with us that can change our life. It strikes me that Jesus, he's tired, so he sits down. This woman is isolated, avoiding people, and so she shows up. But it's God's perfect timing. It's what in the Greek is called a kairos moment, a divine moment in time where a window opens, a divine moment of opportunity that God sees that he needs to speak to this woman's life. She's driven by the fact that she's avoiding people, probably full of shame, rejection, a sense of isolation. It's her pain, it's her rejection, it's her isolation that drives her to be there at noon just to encounter Jesus. I was thinking and praying for you this morning, and I was thinking how many people may show up today at this 12 noon service. You're the late sleepers. I don't know why you slept in late. Maybe you just did a lot. Maybe you got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I've already put in 5 hours of jogging, work, exercise, clean the house, and you showed up at this time. Or maybe you're not used to coming to church and you were partying all last night and really stayed out to 3 o'clock in the morning, and your cousin called you up and said, "Are you coming to church with me?" And you're like, "Ah." And you're sitting there right now saying, "What am I doing in church right now? I hope I can stay awake, and I hope the pastor doesn't see in the back row because I want to take a nap. I got a pretty good eyesight, by the way. Now with this platform, it's even better."
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, "How Full Is Your Bucket?" It's from our current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 4. His message, "How Full Is Your Bucket?"
But I believe in divine timing. In fact, I believe that God has called some of you at this moment, at this time, for this service to encounter the powerful, compelling presence of Jesus. Just like the woman at the well, it's the man or the woman at 51st and Keeler. God has a way of leading us down this path of preparing divine appointments for encounters with him that can drastically and dramatically change our life. So the first point I want to make, and I want you to be aware of, is that God may be setting you up for a dramatic, powerful change where there is a before and there's an after, if you allow there to be one. And so Jesus encounters this woman at the well. I want you to be aware of that, first of all. Secondly, I want you to stop avoiding and start honestly looking honestly at the root issue that makes your life empty. So Jesus asked her simply for a cup of water, and she reacts. Now, I have to say that Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. There was a racial tension between them. And Samaria, most Jews, if they were born like Jesus, would avoid Samaria. It's a long history. It went back a couple hundred years. There was religious fighting between them about whether they should worship at this place or whether they should worship at that place. The Jews considered the Samaritans half-breeds because they had an intermixing with other groups of people and not pure Jews. And so they kind of despised them and looked down at them. And most Jews would not go through Samaria, but Jesus was different. He went right through Samaria, right through the bad neighborhood. And stopped in the bad neighborhood to talk to a woman that had mega issues in her life. I love that about God, that he doesn't avoid people with issues and people that others look down upon. I love the fact that God is not looking for people that have their act all together. Their life is all cleaned up. They have a perfect background. They're the right race, the right color, the right height, the right economic position. I love the fact that he says, I'm just looking for people, no matter what your background, color, race, history is, I have a purpose and a plan for everybody, no matter where you've come from. I love that about Jesus. And so he begins to talk with this woman, but oftentimes the issues of our life make us very defensive. He said to the Samaritan woman, can you get me a drink? And she said to him, hey, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Then Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I can almost see her eyes roll. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water from? Verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and did also his sons and livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. I love the fact that Jesus takes a discussion about water and turns it into a discussion about the soul. This woman is not going to have anything to do with it. I can almost see the nodding of her head, the rolling of her eyes, the cockiness in her posture against Jesus. Because you need to understand her story. You see, this woman not only was a Samaritan woman that had a racial issue with Jesus, but this woman had a history. We learn in this passage that this woman had been married 5 times and divorced 5 times. Now, you don't go through 5 divorces without being beat up, without being disillusioned with life, without getting tough, without becoming cynical, without feeling like, hey, life has given me a bad break. In fact, she'd gone through 5 divorces and now she was just living with the guy that she was with. She had issues, I believe, of rejection, of shame, of shunning. She had issues of brokenness, of distrust, of cynicism. When people have been through a lot of issues, when they've been hurt before, when they have been broken, when they have shame, the thing that we do is we get in defense mechanism. We make sure that people know, don't mess with me, don't step on me, don't take advantage of me, because I will let no one take advantage of me again. I've been hurt before, now I'm tough. Ever run into someone like that? Ever been that person? I'm never going to get hurt again. No one's going to take advantage of me again. You ask me for a drink of water, I'm going to say, get your own drink of water. I'm not going to be taken advantage of like that. Why are you asking me? Ask someone else. I'm going to make sure people know I'm not going to be walked on. I'm going to make sure everybody knows you can't take advantage of me. It's been done before, but I'm tough. I'm strong. I'll speak my mind. I'll tell you what I think. I'll keep you at a distance. Don't try to get into my heart. Don't look at my personal life, because I'm going to put you in my place. That is a sign of someone that's hurting inside, broken inside, and is going to make sure that they put a stiff arm to anybody that tries to get close. Tough on the outside, broken on the inside. And Jesus approaches this woman and in a short amount of time starts peeling back the layers of defensiveness. I mean, look at the conversation. Can you give me a drink? Hey, you shouldn't even be asking me for a drink. Hey, I have something good to give you, living water. I doubt it very much. Jesus, I can fill your empty bucket of life, woman. Yeah, give me some of that magic water. Yeah, right. Jesus, go call your husband, the woman. I don't have a husband. I love the fact that Jesus goes right to the issue. Her issue, it was broken relationships, trust, emptiness, disappointment in relationships. And Jesus goes right to that place. He says, hey, go call your husband. And the woman says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus reveals that he knows her better than what she thinks he knows her. He says, you're right. You have had five husbands. And the man that you now have is not your husband, so what you said is quite true. Wow. What Jesus is saying is, I know you better than what you think I know you. You may try to stiff arm me. You may try to keep me away. You may try to act like you don't care. You may try to say, don't get personal. But Jesus is saying, I know you. I know your story. I know your heart. I know your issues. I know your fears. I know what you are anxious about. I know what makes you cry at night. I know what makes you panic. I know when you get into that dark hole, what sent you into that dark hole. I know your issues, and I'm not afraid of them. This woman, when Jesus says you've had five husbands and he reveals this thing, you know, this woman, she is surprised that he knows, but she's not easy to crack. I believe that we all have legitimate issues that we try to fulfill. We have legitimate needs that we try to fulfill in illegitimate ways. The fact that you want to be happy is not a bad thing. The fact that you snort lines of cocaine on the weekend is a bad thing. The fact that you want to feel worth is not a bad thing. The fact that you have to get a little drunk and sleep with any guy that will tell you you're beautiful is a bad thing. The fact that you want to be significant is not a bad thing. The fact that you're a workaholic and neglect your family just to get that worth in your life is a bad thing. The fact that you want to be loved is not a bad thing. The fact that you're late night strolling through internet porn to get a little fill is a bad thing. The fact that you want to belong is not a bad thing. The fact that you have to hang out with the boys in the corner and throw down gang signs to belong is a bad thing. You see, what I'm telling you is that we all have legitimate needs, but many of us try to fulfill those legitimate needs in illegitimate ways. We try to fill the bucket. We try to fill the bucket of our life in ways that never quite fill us. It keeps us empty. This woman, whatever her story was trying to fill her life over and over and over with relationship after relationship. You know, I don't know exactly why she got a divorce the first time, but no woman goes into marriage thinking I'm going to divorce him in 6 months. There's always this illusion. It's going to work out. He's going to love me. We'll grow old together. This will be a beautiful relationship. On the wedding day, I'm sure she looked at him with eyes of just puppy eyes of, I love this guy. We're going to have a dream marriage. But somewhere down the road, maybe a year into it, she realized her dream had fallen apart and this crumbled and fell. No one goes through divorce without experiencing rejection, hurt, and brokenness.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago from New Life Community Church at our Midway location. And this is his message called, How Full Is Your Bucket? It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.